Well, today we do celebrate a very special event in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All four Gospels record this monumentous occasion in Jesus' life. And we read today in Luke's Holy Gospel, which signaled the official beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Now, you know, if you see an event once in a Gospel, it's important. If it's in two of the Gospels, pay attention. If it's in three of the Gospels, sit up and pay attention. And if it's in four of the Gospels, you can take it to the bank. And this is very important for you to know and to remember. Luke condensed his account more than the other three Gospel writers. The purpose of Jesus' baptism was to anoint our Lord with the Holy Spirit and to give authenticity to him by the Father for the beginning of his public ministry. The heavenly voice that is heard echoes words of Isaiah the prophet, commissioning the Messiah as the servant, the one who will suffer and die for the people of the world. Listen to these words from Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit upon him and he will bring justice to the nations. Doesn't that go right alongside God's words being my beloved son? Lining up right behind this are the echoes of Genesis 22. Now, if you know me, and you've been to church when Genesis 22 is one of the readings, that's where I zero in, because that's where Abraham is told to take his only son up to a mountain in the Moriah region to be sacrificed. We know the trip of God's only son made up that very same mountain, carrying the wood for his sacrifice on his back. John the Baptist baptized people as a sign and symbol that they had turned away, repented from their sin. The actual baptism symbolizes a cleansing, a washing away of our sins through the blood of Jesus, a drowning to the sinful nature, and a rising with a new Christ-like nature. Jesus never sinned. So you might wonder, why would he go to John to be baptized? Well, this, I believe, was a way that Jesus could identify with all the people and their sin. Another reason was that it would mark the official beginning of Jesus' public ministry. After 30 years of what you might call relative obscurity, Jesus would now begin to do the work of his Father in a very public way. I find it amazing that everyone present heard the absolute approval in the hearing and the voice of God the Father, along with the visible presence of the Holy Spirit. God made it perfectly clear that Jesus was his son. In his baptism, Jesus identified himself with sinners, even though, as I said, he was not a sinner himself. Jesus is taking part, participating in the sacrament of baptism, showed the world that he not only identified in our own sinful condition, but he had also come to cleanse us from that condition, from that sin, to bear our burdens and to suffer penalty on our behalf. What is it Jesus says? Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants our burdens. He wants to take our sin, our shame, our guilt. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's not one person in this church who has been baptized that needs to walk around hanging their head in shame or in guilt. You've been freed from that. The enemy wants to keep reminding of you what you did when you were 13 or what you did when you were 40. Forget it. In Brooklyn, they say, forget about it. Forget about it. Jesus took it from you. When he went to the cross, No wonder he was stooped over. He was carrying everything we have and everything we will commit. That was the purpose. That's why he came. I find it very interesting also that John's father, Zechariah, was a priest. It was the job of the priest in the temple to lay hands on a sacrificial goat, a scapegoat, and send it out into the wilderness with all the sins of Israel. You know who our scapegoat is? Jesus. John the Baptist, as one of the priestly line, laid hands on Jesus in the river that day. And those sins then became his. He never committed any, but he carried them. He bore our sins and therefore gave us freedom. Please, do not carry any of that garbage around with you one more moment. Thank Jesus today that he freed you from it. And if you still feel a burden, when our time of confession comes up this morning, give it all to him. And when I profess the absolution on behalf of our Lord and Savior, receive that as freedom. It's incredible. Do you remember the words that John the Baptist spoke when he saw Jesus? He pointed him out and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Did you notice the word "takes"? It's not a past, it's something that keeps happening. But takes, he takes it away. He continues to take away the sins of the world. People had previously wanted to know, right at the beginning of our gospel, if John, the one who was calling people to change, to repent, to turn away from their sins, was the Messiah. And John knew one thing, that he wasn't. And as we heard in today's gospel, John answered them all. He said, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Jesus of Nazareth was baptized to remove any doubt that he was God's Messiah. God had informed John ahead of time, the son of the priest, Zechariah, that he would be able to recognize the Messiah after the Holy Spirit had descended from heaven on the particular person and then remained on that person. We have the evidence of that today in the gospel. Listen to the words from John himself. "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" John chapter 1, verses 33 and 34. There's another reason that Jesus' baptism was significant. It's one of the few instances in the Bible in which all three members of the Holy Trinity are present and clearly identified for us to know, for the world to know. Not only those who were present that day, but it's been written down in all four Gospels so that we may take notice, remember, and carry it with us. God the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, the Son of God, in the form of a dove. Now, the dove is, if you will, a gentle bird, normally associated with purity and peace. I want to suggest to you that the main reason for the visible presence of the Holy Spirit was to graphically demonstrate that he was empowering Jesus for the work that the Father had sent him to do. God the Father spoke and declared his love for his Son. I believe there can be no stronger evidence for the Trinity than that. God made it clear that he was pleased with Jesus. Up to that point, Jesus had lived in relative anonymity. He had not performed any recorded miracle. He had not preached a sermon or even begun his public ministry. God had shown that he was delighted with Jesus. There's great significance of where Jesus' baptism took place. The Jordan River was and is the source of life for the people of Israel. The Jordan River runs from north to south in Israel. It starts all the way in the north, in the mountains, and comes down to the Sea of Galilee, and then continues out of the Sea of Galilee, running south into the Dead Sea. This fresh water body is the source of drinking water for all of Israel. As a pipeline today carries the drinking water throughout parts of the Holy Land. The water which comes from the mountains in the north originates in melting snow, and during the spring rages down through the Jordan Valley. The river, which in most places is no wider than this room, overflows its banks, and it's a true symbol of moving or living water. As many of you know, through some sermons that I've given, some testimonies, that I was blessed to have my right leg to be healed in the Jordan River in June of 1999, as Marilyn and I reaffirmed our baptisms along with others on that trip. It's a powerful memory for me, and one that I can never erase. Experience the cleansing by that river. In November of 2015, if you remember when our bishop was here, little Lila Grace Evans was baptized here at St. Andrew's using water that had been drawn from the Jordan River. And I'm sure many of you have done that before. I want to tell you, the water itself holds no special power, but can serve to remind us of the miraculous event that we celebrate in today's Holy Gospel, the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sacrament of baptism also should remind us of the significance of water and the Holy Spirit, opening for us new life in the body of Christ, the church. In my life, the healing opened my heart to be prepared for God's call on my life and my family, as 2 days later, on June 24th, 1999, I heard God's call to me to serve him as a priest in his church in grateful obedience. The reaffirming of our baptisms and the healing that took place, allowing me to run up the steps of the baptismal place called Yardanit, was unbelievable. I ran up the steps. The people that were on the trip with us had known the difficulty that I had even trying to walk to some of the sites. No longer. It was amazing. My legs started to burn, went numb, and the pain has been gone ever since. I can say this to you, be careful what you say to God. If you say to him, "Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. I'll do anything you want," he'll take you up on it, as is evidenced here. You see, by what he did 2,000 years ago in the Jordan River, it allowed me to understand the importance of what Jesus did. It allowed me to have a desire to give him permission to use me, to have him do whatever he wants in my life for his glory, in thanksgiving for taking that intense pain away from me, which is still gone today. Not only that pain, but the pain of sin he took from us because of his sacrifice. We've all been baptized, most of us as babies, just like Lila Grace and others. This moment in our lives is to be the beginning of a life meant to work for the kingdom of God. Just as Jesus began his public ministry working for God's kingdom, we too should be doing this, and it's never too late to get started. I ask you to please be open to the call on your life and be willing to serve him with excellence, just as Jesus did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.